somebody's next, shake their hand, greet them, and you can be seated this morning. Thank you, ma'am. So, welcome to Bethel Assembly this morning. I'm telling y'all, that worship team got me fired up today. Come on, somebody. Can I just say this? Today is a little bit different service, and today we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to just spend some time with me and my sons up here. We're going to talk about fathers and the importance of Father's Day, and we're going to talk about our life and how we've done things. But can I just say something right quick? Can I just kind of go off script for a minute? Yeah. Our world needs fathers to rise up and roar over their families. Can I tell you that? I'm going to just do this, and I know I'm coming down. I'm just telling you. It's what our world needs. It's what our world needs, and you're not a father by accident. You're not a father. We love mothers. We love mothers. Don't get me wrong. Don't hear me on that today. But today is Father's Day, and we're celebrating Father's Day today. And I don't know what we got to do to turn that echo off, but I got to get down here. I level with you knuckleheads because y'all don't listen to me. Fatherhood, man. Fatherhood is so valuable. It's so important. You're a father. You're a father. You're a grandfather. You're a spiritual father. You're a godfather. And I'm telling you, what you do matters. And what we need in this world is we need some fathers to step up and to step up with some courage and some boldness and say, I'm a father. And this is my family. And God's given me this gift. It's not anything I did. It's everything that God did. I'm telling you, men, right now, you want to see revival in America? You want to see revival in America? It's not coming from the Democrats. It's not coming from the Republicans. It's not coming from our government. It's not coming from the Baptist organization or the Assemblies of God organization. I'm going to tell you how revival is going to come to this world. You want a different world for your children to grow up in? I have three kids. Two of them are right there, and my daughter's over there. She's 12 years old. I don't want them to grow up in some liberal, screwed up, jacked up culture that we live in right now, where men don't even know if they're men and women. Don't even know if they're women, and we don't know if we should marry men or we should marry women. We are jacked up, we are screwed up right now, and we're waiting on everybody to change everything about this nation. Can I tell you something, men? You need to suck it up, buck up, get a hold of yourself, and you need to be a warrior for the kingdom of God and for the next generation. Don't tell me that you don't matter, and don't act like you're just living life. It is time for men, for men, for men to rise up and be the man that God has called them to be. It is not about you. It's not about your life. It's not about what you want. It's about being responsible, and it's about knowing that God has given me these children, and I refuse to live a life where my kids try to fight to overcome the reputation that I have given unto them. I am going to pass this baton off to my children, and my children are going to stand on my shoulders, and my children are going to take it to the next level because I have been a good father unto my children. It's time for you men to suck it up, buck it up, be a man of God, and lead your family to a better place than where you have ever been in your life. That's what will bring, that's what will bring revival. That's what will bring change to our world. Whew. Let's breathe. Yeah, let's breathe. So welcome to Bethel. We love y'all. We're so glad you're here. We love the Lord. We love church. We love people. We love families. We love husbands. We love wives. We love moms. We love dads. We love raising up children to know the Word of God from a young age. And we believe that it starts with fatherhood. We believe that from the beginning of time, God created one man and God created one woman. And He created them in such a way that they could come together and they could reproduce. And the very first commandment in the book of Genesis, the very first commandment, God said, you know what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. We believe in family and we believe in fatherhood. So today, I said we're going to do it. Let me take my cough drop out. I hollered too much the first two services. Today, I got my kids up here. I got my boys up here. My daughter, she's next door. She's 12. She's kicking the nursery. She's keeping the nursery over there. But I'm so proud of my kids. My kids are not perfect. My kids have messed it up. My kids have had to overcome a lot. Being a Cochran is the number one thing they've had to overcome. We haven't gotten it right. I've made a lot of mistakes being a father. They've made some mistakes being kids, and we're open and we're honest and we're authentic about that. But today we're going to answer some questions. We've given you the opportunity the last couple of weeks to text in and email in some questions that you would ask us about fatherhood, about what it's like growing up in our home, about what we believe. And so today we're going to do the best of our ability to answer some questions that you've asked us. And so some of these questions are a little challenging. Some of them are a little tough, but we're going to answer these questions with most of them. We're going to answer them with the Word of God. Questions that you ask us, we're going to answer, and we're going to quote Scripture back to you because we believe Scripture is the way to live our lives. Can I hear a good amen? Scripture. It's the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. When it comes to your marriage, Scripture. When it comes to your singleness, Scripture. When it comes to raising kids, Scripture. When it comes to your finances, Scripture. When it comes to your moral character, Scripture. Scripture is the answer. And so we're going to answer them the best we can with Scripture. Some of these questions today, we're not going to quote Scripture, but we're going to answer them out of a heart that has been molded by the Scripture and by the Word of God, because we believe that's the key. The first question that we're going to answer, I'm going to answer it today. And so I'm going to say this to you. There is no guilt. There is no condemnation. There is no shame in what I'm about to say about this first question. The first question that we got asked was this. My question is this. I'm a father of six kids. This person texted us, and I'm a father of six kids. Two by my first marriage, two by my second marriage, and two that are adopted. Kids are from three different mothers and four different fathers, and I am not the biological father of any of them. He says, I feel like we should be on the Jerry Springer show. He said, I'm blessed and I'm thankful, but at times, like Father's Day, I feel like I'm always second to the biological fathers, even though I'm the one that have raised them and provided for them. How do I deal with this? So let's talk about something right quick. Let's be honest and let's be real. No guilt, no condemnation. The U.S. Census says this. 47% of families today are blended families. They're blended families. That means that they've been divorced and they've been remarried and they got kids from different. So let's talk about that, because I just want to tell you something today. Stepfathers, you matter and you're valuable. Stepparents, you matter and you are very, very valuable. It makes a difference. And let's be honest. Can I be honest and be real with y'all at 11 o'clock service? This is why the Bible says in Malachi 2:16, God says, I hate divorce. Divorce is ugly. Divorce is painful. Divorce is separation. I'm not saying God never says, I hate divorced people. He says, I hate divorce. Because when we get divorced and there are kids involved, there's stepkids always. And there's still Christmas, and there's New Year's, and there's birthdays, and who do I feel loyal to? And the real struggle in divorce is the young kids, because they don't know which way to go or who to feel loyal to. And we got to be honest about that, and we got to talk about that. Divorce is a struggle. It's a tough thing. And that's why we have got to say this. We got to understand as the church, marriage must be taken very seriously and held in very high regards in my life and in your life. I understand that we live in a broken world. I understand that we live in a fallen world. I understand that 47% of the people that are here today have been through a divorce and they're living with blended homes. I know that creates struggles. I know that when you become a stepfather, there's a lack of respect maybe for some of these kids. I understand when you're a child and you have this guy that's come into your life, all of a sudden you have a little bit of fear because your first father may not, your real father may not have done you right. I understand there's a little bit of unappreciation and things, but here's what I want to say. Parents, fathers, real fathers, biological fathers, stepfathers, godfathers. Can I tell you something? Fathers, you still have to father the children that God has brought into your life. I understand it may be a struggle, but we still need a father figure to be in that life. I understand that kids manipulate. Can we be real? Kids are immature. Kids will manipulate this parent to get it from this parent and this step parent. Kids will work that thing. But can I tell you something? As fathers, you're still called to be a father. And you know what? Just because your children or your stepchildren may not appreciate you and they may not respect you and they may not show you the honor that you need, you know what? Their lack of respect does not release you from holding up your responsibilities of being a father figure in their life. It is what it is. It's the way it's got to be. Fathers, keep doing what you do. Keep providing. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but those who don't provide for their relatives, they have denied the faith and they are worse than non-believers. Keep providing, Father. Keep providing, Father. Keep providing, Father. Provide spiritually. Provide physically. Provide emotionally. Provide for the people in your life. I would say this to you. I get it. Sometimes you don't feel appreciated. But here's what I would say. Colossians 3:23 says this. Whatever you do. Colossians 3:23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily, do it with passion, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you will receive your reward and your inheritance, for you are serving Jesus Christ. Don't be a father in order to get the approval of children or stepchildren or spiritual children or a mom. Do what you do because you know that you've been created to be a man and God has called you to be a father, and your children may not see what you do and your wife may not see your sacrifice, but we serve a God and a Father up above who sees everything that you do, and he will reward you for being a good, strong, biblical father figure in the lives of your children. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Speaking of marriage, we're going to move on to this second question that we had, because marriage is so important. The next question we had was this. What advice have you given your boys about their future spouses? Because it's our desire. We believe God created man and woman to come together and to get married and have kids. We've been talking about our kids all day. You be a good dad. You be a good dad. You be a good husband. So what advice have we given them about their future spouse? I'm going to kick it to the boys and let them tell you what we've talked about and what we've tried to do our best to teach them and lead them in a good direction. You go first this time.
This was a hot topic when we were growing up with mom.
Hold up.
There it is. It was a hot topic growing up because mom was always teaching us, have standards, have boundaries, have lines you won't cross when you start dating and start getting into the dating scenes. And so she was always telling us, you know, be strict. That's one of the most important areas, most important decisions you'll ever make is your partner. So be strict on your standards and make sure you know the lines and the boundaries you're not going to cross. But dad, he was just like, well, don't pick the wrong one because it's hard enough to live with the right one.
Shut up, Will. Go, Jesse.
For me, I think something that always stuck with me, and this is kind of my mom, and it's like just, and you too, just setting boundaries and talking about the boundaries, like clear boundaries. And sometimes for me, I'm kind of like a control freak sometimes. So I want to control people, and I want to mold people into what I want them to be. And so sometimes when people don't meet those boundaries or meet those standards and respect the boundaries, it's kind of frustrating. So I kind of want to step in and fix them, you know? And so mom's always told me, like, you know, you can't change people. You can't, you know, control people. They are who they are, you know? And so she's just always helped me. That's something good that mom told me.
Yeah, she told you that, but she didn't practice that when it came to me. Because she's been trying to change me for 25 years. Now, I love it because it's important that our kids grow up and get married. And so I think one of the things that we got to talk about and we got to be about is dads, teach your sons and daughters the sacredness of marriage. Our world is not teaching our children how sacred marriage is. Like in this world, it's not about marriage. It's about just your feelings and about what you want and about instant gratification. And we're just going to live together and we're going to act like we're married and we're going to do all this. And when it doesn't work, we're just adios and go find somebody else. Like teach dads, teach your sons and teach your daughters the importance of what it is to get married. That it's not just something that we do, that it's this moment, it's this covenant relationship that God has intended from the beginning of time for one man and one woman, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, to stay together. Teach your sons and daughters the sacredness of marriage. Talk to your kids. Are you ready to hear this, dads? Can I hear a good amen? Talk to your kids about sex. Talk to your kids about sex, because the world's talking about, we live in a sex-driven world. Hollywood promotes sex. Even our government is promoting sex. Everywhere you turn right now, it's all about sexuality. And sex is an amazing thing, and it's a great gift that God has given men and women, but it is intended for the confines of marriage. And you got to teach your kids. You got to talk to them. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to talk to your sons and daughters at an earlier age than what you think. Because they have iPhones, and they're going to school, and they're going to school with kids who don't have godly parents, and they're hearing about sex at age 6, 8, 10 years old. You've got to have that talk with them. It's better for you to have that talk with them than for them to learn about sex from somebody at school. Have those talk. Teach them about sex, because sexual sin, can we be real, y'all? Dads, protect your sons and daughters by talking to them about sex. Because sexual sin hits harder than any other sin. I'm not saying it's worse than any other sin. I'm saying it hits harder. And Paul says this in the Word of God, that all other sin is outside of the body, but sex is inside the body, and it hits harder. Talk to your kids about sex. After first and second service, I bet I've had 5 or 6 people that are younger than me come up to me and say, Cody, drive that nail a little bit harder, because my parents didn't talk to me about sex, and I started having sex at a young age, and absolutely once I got married, I regretted the dumb decisions that I had made. Drive it harder. Talk to your kids about sex, because I guarantee you this, someday you'll get married. Someday you'll get married, and your wife will walk down the aisle with a white dress. Can I just tell you, you know why brides walk down the aisle with white dresses? Signifying purity. Signifying I'm pure and I have kept myself for this moment to give myself to my husband in this covenant relationship with the Lord. That's what that means. I guarantee you, I've told these kids this. Kids, you got a lot to overcome. Because you're a dude and you're a man and you're a Cochran. But you got to keep yourself. Because when you get married, you will not have any regrets that you held yourself and you said no for 25 years until you gave yourself to your wife that day. You'll never have regrets. But if you go and you listen to the world and the culture and society and you freely practice sex outside of the confines of marriage, I'm telling you, when you come to the altar, you'll go, dang, wish I would have held myself to give myself to that one woman or that one man. It matters. Talk to your kids. Choose wisely. Set standards. We got to move on. Next question. What do I wish I had done differently with my boys and Clara? Question, what, as a father, what do you wish you would have done differently? And then the next, second part of that question is, what do the boys wish they had done differently in responding to you as a dad and what your wisdom? So here's my, I'm going to turn it over to the boys. Here's, I got one answer for what would I have done differently. I look back over 23 years, 20 years, what would I have done different? Here's the answer. Spent more time with my kids. That's it. Because we give ourselves to money. We give ourselves to job. We give ourselves to career. We give ourselves to hobbies. We give ourselves to friends. And as I look back over my life, the one thing I would have done different, because the time I'll never, ever get back with them, I wish I would have spent more time with them. It's the greatest investment you'll ever make, Father. And your sons and daughters will never, ever forget the time that you gave to them. Boys, what would you do different? I can't wait to hear this. What would you have done different in responding to your
honestly,
father?
Honestly, same. Like, spent more time with y'all and have been more present. And then also, you were always kind of the disciplined dad, hard butt, and so sometimes I didn't take that well, and so I just wish I would have understood his true intention behind being hard on me and pushing me and trying to light me a lot of fire in me and help me be passionate. And so I just wish I would have understood him more, and because now I know that I'm older, I know, you know, you meant the best for me.
I thought I responded to you pretty good. I mean, probably out of fear, but you gave me a look, and by God, I was doing what I needed to do.
That you were going to say that, and that's it for
you
real?
You could have do something different. You could have whooped him more.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, just spend more time with your kids. I'm telling you, you'll never ever go wrong. And kids, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something, youngsters? Like your parents, I know you think they're old and uncool. But your parents have been where you've never been, and they've done what you've never done. And we are not trying to just be buttholes and take the fun out of life for you. We're trying to help you make better decisions than we are. Let me go on. Okay. For the boys, this is a good question. We've dealt with this for 23 years. Do you guys feel that there is a standard and there is a pressure that comes from being a pastor's kid? How many of y'all heard them stories? Oh, my God, that's a preacher's kid. So what do you guys feel? Will, let's start with you this time. Like the pressure of being a preacher's kid.
I think when you're young, if people throw it at you like you're just a preacher's kid, like you're just going to be a little hellion, you know, and do whatever you want to do. But I feel like I didn't really feel the pressure until I hit 16, 17, 18. You know, we're like friends and people I were hanging out with started doing things that I didn't agree with. And I had to actually start putting my foot down and saying, no, I can't do that. And so I think that's when it really, for me, you could kind of feel the pressure. And I think you'd be lying if also you didn't say that a little bit of the preacher's kid image a little bit has anything to do with it. And I always tried to make sure that that wasn't why I said no to these things, because I wanted to look good and I'm the preacher's kid, because I actually felt that way and was actually close with the Lord and could say no to these things that I didn't agree with.
Cool. Brett, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. I always tried to have the best intentions with not just trying to look good for people, but to actually have a genuine heart and do it for the right reasons. But y'all did a good job, because you know, I never felt like a robot. Like, you little preacher's kid, you know, you follow the line and you come to church and you play your bass. And I think y'all did a really good job of, like, you can be a little wild, you can be a little, you know, but you can still rein it in and be, you know, you had a good balance between, you know, not just being a little hellion or an angel, you know.
Sure. So I think we did try hard. Like I say, I saw a lot of preachers and a lot of preachers' kids that were the little rowdy hellions, and they were rebellious, you know. And I feel like it was because the preachers tried to mold them and make them and wouldn't let them be themselves, you know, and they had to sit and look pretty and do good for the image of the whole church and the preacher. And, like, I wanted these boys to be a little bit wild. If I'm telling you the truth, I didn't want them to be sinful, but I want them to be rowdy and rebellious and manly, and I want them to rebel for the right things. And so just be careful in putting pressure on your children. Like, let them see your heart and work on your child's heart, not their behavior. Come on, somebody. Don't work on their behavior, work on their heart, because they can behave correctly and have a crooked heart, but if they have a good heart, they will always, actions will follow the good heart. So work on your kid's heart. And you know what, if your kid messes up, don't be a jerk and make it all about, oh, well, you're putting a bad mark on our name. It's not about your name. Who cares? Kids are going to be kids, okay? So you know what, love your kids. So next question was this: how do you keep a good relationship with your boys now that they're grown? 23, 20. Over the years of pastoring, I've seen a lot of families that were good families, good relationships, and the children get to be about 18, and they move off to college, and mom or dad still want to dictate what they do and how they do and when they do and what they do. And these children, they're mature, now they're adults, now they're a little bit grown, and it becomes this conflict and a struggle. And so how do I keep good relationship with these guys? I got to learn to give them some freedom. Like 18 years, I've had to train them. We've trained them and taught them and beat them and grounded them. Amen. And tortured them and done those things. We did that so that when they get to be mature, they could go on and be God-fearing, Bible-believing young men and young women and adults in the kingdom of God. Like, we got to trust our training, y'all. Give them freedom. Here's what I've had to learn. Like, when you lived in our home, when you were living in my house, eating my groceries, and you weren't paying any rent, you did what I said, and you took my advice. But when they got to move out, I couldn't do that anymore. I had to wait for them to ask me, hey, Dad, would you help me with this? Sure, I will. Been waiting on you to ask for 3 weeks, son. You got to wait. You got to let them make decisions. We have to let our children. Can I tell you something, fathers? You have to let your children fail sometimes, because nothing is a greater teacher than experience. And sometimes experiencing failure is when we grow the very most. So give them some freedom. Let them be children. Let them be adults. Let them realize in your mind, these are grown people now. And this is what we raised them for. I'll say this quickly. This is sometimes harder for mothers because mamas carried them babies in their belly. Mamas got stretch marks to prove they had them babies. Mamas breastfed them babies. Mamas held them babies and rocked them babies. And so I'm just telling you, fathers and mothers, you got to release them and let them go and let them be their own and trust your training. Another question was this. How do we approach tough conversations? There's some tough conversations you got to have with your kids. Like tough ones. Like how do you approach them? I'm going to kick it to the boys and ask them, how do we approach the tough conversations, the sin, the temptation, the failures, the sexual talks? Like how do those go down? Start with you, Jesse Pate. How do we deal with tough conversations?
Well, it's kind of hard to answer that, but I would say there never really was tough conversations. There was awkward, touchy subjects and stuff, but I mean, y'all were very consistent about talking about the hard conversations, the hard stuff. And so you were just, like for me and you, going to the cell barn every week, we would have our weekly cell barn talks, and he'd just check in with me, hey, how are you doing with this? How are you doing with your struggles and your temptations? And so all the stuff that was tough to talk about, it was a normal conversation. He was very consistent with it. And so I think y'all did a good job of doing that. And so it never really was a tough conversation.
Yeah, I think it's kind of touching off what you said. I think it comes down to the relationship we have, because we all have such a great relationship with mom and dad. And so when those tough conversations come up, it makes it a whole lot easier to talk about them because we know they have our best interest in mind. And it actually makes me think of a story. Some of y'all may have heard it. It's when dad was playing tennis in Nanny Jean's garage. And him and Nanny Jean were tight. And so she told dad, if you ever mess up or screw up, come tell me. You know, don't try and hide it. Come tell me, and then we can, you know, fix it. And so dad's in there playing tennis, probably maybe 12 or 13.
Yeah.
A little sweatband, shorty shorts in there. Thinking you the world
John
champ.
John McEnroe, boy. Yeah.
Smokes it, hits the window, breaks the window. And immediately he runs to Nanny Jean and tells her, hey, I broke the window. And so she, you know, they went and worked it out and fixed it out. But I think having that relationship like we have with dad and like he had with Nanny Jean is a game changer when it comes to having these hard, uncomfortable, awkward conversations.
Yeah, like, I mean, if they have the bad memory of you jumping down their throat, then obviously they're not going to want to come back and talk to you about it. But if you're open and you accept them, but you still punish them because that's how, you know, they know and they learn and know that, then I think that they'll be open to talk to you and come to you about stuff like that.
That was good. I was impressed with that answer, Jesse. You didn't get first and second service, that answer. I think it is, though, have that open, like tough conversations are not really tough if you have built an open and authentic relationship with your children growing up. Like, you talk about everything, you know. And so I'm thankful when I grew up, like my mom and my nanny Jean that he was talking about, they were like, let's talk about everything. Like, nothing is off limits. Nothing is going to be awkward. Nothing is going to be weird. Let's talk. I'm not going to jump down your throat. I'm not going to beat you up. Let's talk through these things. Now, with my dad and my granddad, totally different. My dad and my granddad were cowboys. They were rugged. They were tough. And if you screwed up, my God, you was fixing to get the wrath of dad on you. You know what I'm talking about? And there was also this certain aura that we had. Like, we didn't talk about things with my dad or my granddad because we were cowboys, by God, you didn't talk about stuff like it. You just figured it out, son. You're tough. You can handle this. And so I didn't want that. I wanted that open thing with like my nanny and my mama had with me. And so I tried to create that with the boys. And so tough conversations are really not tough conversations if you've built a real authentic relationship with them from a young age. Now, let me say this. Because some of you are maybe here and maybe you didn't build that authentic, open relationship with your kids from a young age. And now here you are trying to serve God and you have a 16-year-old and they're just about to make you want to slit your wrists. And you got to talk to them. Can I say this? Do not be afraid, dads, to have tough conversations. As weird and as awkward as it is, put them in the pickup. Buckle the seatbelt on them, take them out to the country and hide their cell phone where they cannot get away and have tough and awkward conversations with them. I'm telling you, some of our sons and daughters are on the verge of making decisions that will affect the rest of their life. And it is, and they need you, Dad, to be a dad and be real and to have that tough conversation with them at that moment. Don't be afraid, because if you ever have one tough conversation, the next one will get easier and easier and easier. Have tough conversations. What are some important things that I learned from how I was raised that I'm trying to implement in my family? And that's something that the boys have experienced in the way they were raised that they want to implement. What are you, William, what is something you want to implement in your family when you get married, if you ever, by God, get married, because you're 23 and the clock is ticking like this?
I'm following Connor.
And you're following Connor. He's 35 and finally got married. So please, sometimes you need to pick better examples in life. Just saying.
For sure, the quality time and the relationships, because I feel like that's what makes, that's what we love being together, is we have such good relationships. And cooking out in the back and the trips to Colorado and having that openness with my kids, that's definitely something that I love that y'all did that I definitely want to integrate into my future family.
Sure. You?
Yeah, same as Will. Quality time, eating dinner. Eating dinner together and doing chores together and just going on walks down the dirt road together. And I would say also for me, something that's been huge in my life and so evident that Dad has embedded in me is like mindset and discipline. And so I like simple. So going to the gym, I always try to, you know, think of something that helps me understand stuff. So going to the gym, you know, you do reps, right? You do curls for the girls. And whenever you're curling, every time you do it, you get better, you get stronger, right? And so that's something that's just helped me, that Dad has embedded in me, is like you have control over your mind. Because I've always struggled with my mind. I've always struggled with, you know, self-worth. And so I have control over my mind. And so practicing that, doing it rep after rep, saying no to the old thoughts and taking on the new thoughts, that's something that's always been so evident in my life. And I definitely want to pass that down to my kids.
Cool. Preach, boy. So, yeah. Eat supper together. Can I say that? Eat supper together. That's one thing I did when I was a kid. My family always cooked. And that's what we wanted to eat together. If you have to warm it up, if you have to microwave it, if it's TV dinners, do it. It don't matter. Do something. Hang out, eat together. Put the phone away. Put the games away. Turn the TV off. Make it important that you spend some time with your sons and daughters. We got a couple more, and then we got to get out of here. What are some suggestions and advice for men that are preparing for fatherhood? I would just say simply this. If you're preparing for fatherhood, you want to be a father, I'm telling you, it will take every bit of everything that you have to be the father that God has called you to be. You want to be a good father, it's about sacrifice, it's about selflessness, and it's about putting your children before yourself. That's it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out. Fatherhood is one of the most satisfying things you will ever do. It's one of the greatest accomplishments that you will ever see when you watch your kids take their life to a different level than where you've been at. And here's what I would say to fathers, to you guys that are going to be fathers, want to be fathers, want to be better fathers. I would say this, totally trust in the Lord. That God in you is what's going to make you a good father. You cannot, you just trust God, and trust God, and when you raise your kids, raise them according to the commandments of God, the word of God. Can't go wrong. Trust God. Lord, I don't get this. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I'm too young. Lord, I didn't have a good father. Lord, my father, but no, I'm trusting you, God. You called me here. You gave me this child, and you're going to give me every bit of wisdom and anointing I need to raise this child up in a better way. Use the word of God. Pray a whole lot. Men, pray. Surround yourself. You know what? Here's another thing. Surround yourself with great men who are godly men, who are great fathers, and ask them for wisdom. Because as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and we'll be better together than we are by ourselves. Last question is this, and we're going to close, and I'll give the boys a final statement when we're done. This question was sent as a joke. Somebody, some smart aleck was writing something on there. And the question said this, who is the fourth arrow on Cochran's arm? Well, I got some tattoos on my arms. This one tattoo, don't touch me like that, boy. That felt gay, just saying. I have these arrows on my arm. Four arrows, and they say, Will, Jesse, and Clara, that's my three kids. And the reason I have these tattoos is because of a scripture. And I'm going to read you that scripture today. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are your reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he stands at the enemy's gates." Can I tell you something, fathers? Children are your legacy. Can I be real? Can I say something kind of ballsy to you men? I don't care what kind of bucking horse you can ride. It don't matter how many calves you can drag, or how much money you've made, or how many investments you have, or what good your reputation is. Our children are our heritage from the Lord. We were created to come and procreate with our wife and produce children. Children are your heritage. That's what's the matter. That's what matters the most. That's not what's the matter. That's what matters the most. Children, they're a heritage from the Lord. They're our reward in life. And it says this, the scripture says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. When a warrior went to do battle in biblical times, they were not playing, they were not jacking around, they were going out to completely destroy the enemies that stood against them. They were going out to annihilate the enemies that stood against them. They had bows and they had arrows that would destroy the enemy. And the psalmist said that our children are our arrows. And when we shoot our children out into this world, if we have trained them right, if we have taught them right, if we have told them about the word of God, they will go out into a dark, into a messed up world, and they're like arrows. They will destroy. They will annihilate the darkness. They will drive back the devil. They will bring victory to their lives. Our children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And that's my children. I believe that. When it says, when a man stands at the gate of his enemies, he will not be put to shame. We are put to shame when we're defeated and when we lose. And can I tell you something? I love you, but it don't matter how many people come to my church or what big a building we're building over there or what reputation you think or what you think about me. What matters is this, my kids, and I'm not going to be put to shame and I'm not going to lose. When I stand at the gate of my enemies, my kids are going to destroy the enemy for me and bring victory to my life. And can I tell you something about these knuckleheads? They are knuckleheads. But if we had to go to a fight today, I love you and I got some friends in this room that I love greatly and I love you and I trust you 100%. But if I'm going to the fight, I'll call these two knuckleheads and that little baby girl, Claire, because she's tougher than both of her brothers. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll fight any fight with these guys because they're my arrows and they're my warriors. That's what matters in life. So the blank arrow, I'll close with this. What's the blank arrow? It's to remind me that every day I need to fill that arrow with spiritual sons and daughters. That these guys and Clara will always be my biological kids. But God's called me to be a father to this congregation. I'm not just your preacher. I love you and I want to be your father figure. To be a father figure to people that would plant other churches and go to other towns and preach. To be a father figure to young men and young women who maybe that didn't grow up in a good, godly home. But to be a father to them and to encourage them and let them go and teach and train them to have a godly home one of these days. God has called me to be a spiritual father. And that blank says this, fill that blank every day with the names of your spiritual sons and daughters. Being a father is a huge blessing. I'll close with this. My friend Mike Harper, who preached here last week, when he was here before, he went with us to work cattle. And we went and worked cattle. You should have seen him on a horse. But it was funny. He went with us, and we got to the pen, and we were branding, and some people were roping, and some people are flanking, and some people are branding, and they're vaccinating. I'm castrating that day. When we got home that night, we built a fire at my house, and we're sitting out there eating, and he goes, you know what? He goes like, you're the father figure, man. He's like, when I see your boys look at you with admiration, when I see Clara look at you like I'm daddy's girl. And he said, even when we go work, he's like, your friends, they look at you, you're the father. They look to you for advice and for wisdom and counsel and spiritual guidance. He goes, you have this patriarchal role. And I'm telling you, man, it hit my heart. Because the role of a father is a mighty, mighty role. And it has tons of influence on the people all around us. physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, stepfathers, biological fathers, godfathers. Can I tell you something, men, if God has called you to be a father, take that role seriously. Corbett, you or Shelly or whoever's going to play some melodious music, come play melodiously for us. Here's what I want to do in closing today. Just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Hey, y'all give it up for the boys. Hey, wait a minute. Boys, they got one more thing. Y'all got one of the closing comments?
Happy Father's Day.
Jesse?
Be epic. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, man. Y'all give it up for the boys, man. I'm glad. Appreciate them. Here's what I want to do. I want to do in closing. I want to just pray a blessing over you fathers. So just bow our heads and close your eyes. If you're next to a father, if you're next to the father of your family, father of your children, a father figure, a fatherly role in your life, just maybe lay hands on them, maybe even just think about them. And at this moment, we just share our appreciation for the fathers in our life, for the father figures. Lord, most of all, we thank you. Thank you that you are a father to the fatherless, that none of us are bastards anymore, that you're our father and you've adopted us. So we can no longer feel sorry for ourselves or wish that we had a different father. You're a father. You're a father that never leaves us, and you're a father that never forsakes us. And let us understand that. Let us accept that we are children of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord, for being that example to us fathers. Let us fathers be full of grace. Let us be full of mercy. Let us be full of kindness. Let us be fathers that love so much that if we need to chasten and discipline our children, that we'll do that as well, because we want to lead them down the path of righteousness, Lord. I pray your blessing on fathers, Lord. Let today be a day, and let today be a moment where we go, you know what? I'm going to do better, and I'm going to do more, and I'm going to serve stronger. Let us lead biblically. Let us lead spiritually. Let us be all you've called us to be. Let us understand the next generations depend upon us, fathers. Bless these fathers. Speak to them. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, come on, put your hands together and give the Lord some love for fathers. Hand me that paper right there.